Welcome to the first episode of I Found Another Body, hosted by me, Russell, your resident sociopath. Here we will discuss serial killers, their method of choice, who they chose, and why they did it. Because why the hell not? I guess, let's jump right into it. The first, how do I put this? He's my personal favorite, I guess, other than the fact that he sexually assaulted, tortured, and murdered at least 33 teenage boys. Might I point out the fact I said at least. Not at most, or he did. I said at least. He could have treated many more boys to this lovely treatment that we do not know of. If you have not guessed it yet, this is the killer clown John Wayne Gacy, a wondrous person dedicated to killing and raping young boys. But other than that, when he was doing his day job, you'll never guess it, as a clown called Pogo, he brought cheer to the little boys who he most likely forced into his house later, beat and rape. That got depressing. One of the reasons he probably did that to those boys is because his father, who was a drunk, beat him, his sisters, and his mother. During his life, he fought for approval from his father, but to his own demise, never got it. His father continued to beat him, but John never fought back. If that were my dad, I would have hit him so hard he might stop hitting me, but he might also die. So, good thing he doesn't hit me. While still a child, his father was told that John and a friend sexually touched a girl. Why? Why would... No. You don't do... No. You just... No. Wrong. And so his father beat him with a razor... whip. A razor whip. That has to hurt. I mean, a normal whip, yeah, that's painful. You can get some bruises. But a razor whip, that's guaranteed to break the skin. I mean, later that year, John would be molested, but he would never tell his dad for fear that his father might blame him for it. I don't understand why. Knowing what I know about his father, it makes sense. After some time, John became a mortuary assistant. Not sure I said that, pronounced that correctly, but while there, he saw bodies being embalmed and later confessed to finding himself basically having sex with a dead teenage boy. This might no longer be one of my favorites. He called his mother right after that, asking if his father would let him come back home. Good thing he was accepted. When he got back, he went to college, even though he never graduated high school, got married, moved to help his father, and then had oral sex with a friend drunk. That, well, at least it wasn't his fault. He was the drunk one. So, it's okay. It's okay. In August 1967, John committed his first known sexual assault upon a teenage boy. Because that's what you do in August 1967. The victim was a 15-year-old named Donald Voorhees, the son of one of his work friends. John lured the youth to his house with the promise of showing Donald pornographic films. I mean, if you got a teenage boy in your house, that's the way to go. He then got Donald drunk, then had oral sex with him. Why? Is this just because your friend was like, ha, we're going to do that to you? John here has some problems. This happened many times with one of those times getting one of the boys to have sex with his wife so he could blackmail him to having sex with him. That escalated. Other times he used scientific research as a rouse for exploring homosexuality, paying the kids up to $50. My. I mean, $50 though. I mean, nowadays, it'd be like $120, I'm thinking. Could be wrong. Could be right. Don't know. Would not be the number I would go for. I would totally go for like 500. Not sure about anyone else, but I mean, still. $50. That's a decent amount of money. Donald Voorhees later told his father that John had sexually assaulted him and immediately informed the police. And John was arrested and subsequently charged with oral sodomy in relation to Voorhees and the attempted assault of a 16-year-old named Edward Lynch. John vehemently denied the charges and demanded to take the polygraph test. This request was granted, although the results indicated John was nervous when he denied any wrongdoing in relation to either Voorhees or Lynch. Okay, if you're going to take a polygraph test, be sure you will pass, okay? Don't do it because you think you might get away with it. Do it because you are sure you can do it. Later, John picked up a 16-year-old Timothy Jack McCoy. Ooh, I remember this one. This is the first time I'll just keep going. Picked up 16-year-old Timothy Jack McCoy from Chicago's Greyhound bus terminal. John took McCoy, who was traveling from Michigan to Omaha on a sightseeing tour of Chicago, then drove him back to his home with the promise that he could spend the night and be driven back to the station in time to catch his bus. According to John's later account of this murder, yes, this was the first murder that John Wayne Gacy, or Pogo the Clown, ever committed. He awoke the following morning to find McCoy standing in the bedroom doorway with a kitchen knife in his hand. John leapt from the bed, and McCoy raised both arms in a gesture of surrender, tilting the knife upwards and accidentally cutting John's forearm. John had a scar on his arm to support this account. He then twisted the knife from McCoy's wrist, banged his head against the bedroom wall. Ow! No, that's gonna hurt. Kicked him against the wardrobe and walked towards him. For those of you who don't know what a wardrobe is, it's a dresser. It's where you keep your clothes. I'm just assuming that someone who's not old enough to know what that is, or doesn't know what that is listening. McCoy then kicked him in the stomach, and John grabbed the youth, wrestled him to the floor, then stabbed him repeatedly in the chest. He straddled him with his body. John claimed he then went to his kitchen and saw opened carton of eggs and slab of unsliced bacon on his kitchen table. McCoy had also set the table for two. He had walked into John's room to wake him while absentmindedly carrying the knife in his hand. John subsequently buried McCoy in his crawl space and later covered the youth's grave with a layer of concrete. In an interview after his arrest, John stated that immediately after killing McCoy, he felt totally drained, yet noted that he had experienced a mind-numbing orgasm as he killed the youth. He added, "That's when I realized that death was the ultimate thrill." Deceiving youths into donning handcuffs became Gacy's typical MO, or mundus operandi. It means habit, basically, in Latin. In subduing his victims, after plying a youth with drink, drugs, or generally gaining his trust, Gacy would produce a pair of handcuffs, occasionally as part of a clowning routine, which he would persuade his intended victim into donning. Then his victim, manacled and unable to free himself, Gacy would then make a statement to the effect of, "The trick is you have to have the key," before proceeding to rape and torture his captive. He would finish with the rope trick, placing a rope over the victim's neck, making a makeshift tourniquet after the victim was strangled to death. To show some respect, here is a list of victims that I will read off as we end this episode of I Found Another Body. John McCoy, 16. He's the body nine. John Bulkovich, body 2. Daryl Sampson, body 29. Randall Raphaet, body 7. Samuel Stapleton, body 6. Michael Bonin, body 18. William Carroll, body 22. James Hackison, body 24. Rick Johnston, body 23. Kenneth Parker, body 15. William Bundy, hey, that sounds like he could be related to Ted Bundy, body 19. Gregory Godzik, body 4. John Zizek, body 3. John Prestige, body 1. Matthew Bowman, body 8. Robert Gilroy, body 25. John Mallory, body 20. Russell Nelson, body 16. Robert Winch, body 11. Tommy Boyling, body 12. David Talisma, body 17. William Kindred, body 27. Timothy O'Rourke, body 31. Frank Landingang, body 32. James Marazier, body 33. Robert Reese, body 30. And that concludes this episode of I Found Another Body.